bringing pro football to the Mid-South for nearly two decades.
It's a miracle!
Yes! Good! Touchdown, Titans!
This is Titans Radio. Now on Titans Radio, your chance to talk about the Titans with the head coach. This is the Mike Mularkey Show, presented by Farm Bureau Health Plans. Now, the voice of the Titans, Mike Keith.
Welcome to St. Thomas Sports Park and another edition of the Mike Mularkey Show. We're glad to have you with us and would love to take your calls tonight at 877-848-2671. 877-848-2671. Twitter questions can be sent our way at Titans Radio. The opponent this Sunday, the Seattle Seahawks. They come to Music City for the first time in 12 years. The last time they were here, Matt Hasselbeck was in his prime, and that team was on their way to the Super Bowl to take on the Pittsburgh Steelers. Well, they certainly have a different look now, but the Seahawks still a formidable opponent. They are 1-1 entering this game. They lost their season opener at Green Bay by a final score of 17-9. On Sunday, their home opener, winners over Seattle 12-9, staging a late drive for a touchdown to take the lead and go on to the victory against their division rival, the 49ers. So they're 1-1, the Titans are 1-1, and we will kick this off at 3:05 Central Time. That means Titans Countdown on the air at 2 Central, 3 Eastern on this Titans radio station. It's a challenge for the Tennessee Titans because they're taking on an opponent they see only every 4 years. The last time these two teams met was in 2013 in Seattle. Before that, also a game in Seattle in 2009. You'll remember that one because it was the regular season finale, and Chris Johnson went over 2,000 yards to become the seventh man to top that total. So that was certainly a historic game. Mike Mularkey joining us now, ready to take your calls at 877-848-2671. Mike, how much did it help your team to be able to turn the page because this opponent is not familiar?
Well, you know, at least the defense is very familiar because it's very similar to the Jaguars. The coaching tree, you know, that's how that all panned out. So it's good it's coming back-to-back weeks, just different with the personnel. An experienced group, obviously a group that's been to a couple Super Bowls that have been playing together for a while compared to the Jags. And that's where you're going to get your that's going to be a tough matchup.
If the unfamiliar opponent part of it doesn't get the players' attention, the name Seattle certainly gets attention because of what you're talking about. In these players' lifetimes, and we say usually about 5 years when you're talking about that,
right.
They don't have to look back very far to see those Super Bowl appearances. They know Sherman. They know Russell Wilson. They certainly know this ball club.
They absolutely do. And it'll be a very good challenge. Very glad that we're at home with our fans. Get to use our fans as a weapon to hopefully distract and keep this offense struggling a little bit. So it's going to be a very good game, very good matchup. Don't look at numbers right now or rankings or any of that. We know who's coming in here.
Well, because ball clubs are still coming together, they're still putting the parts together. For example, in Seattle, they're still figuring out their running back situation. They're still figuring out some things in their offensive line. Just like for your ball club, you're still mixing in pieces. Eric Decker improved from week one to week two. Taywan Taylor, a big play in that right. offense. It's all kind of, for everybody in the league, you're still trying to figure out where everything fits together.
No doubt. And that is, it's everybody. It's early. It's still early. And, especially when you have a lot of young guys like we do, we have a number of rookies playing a lot of football for us. We're still trying to piece it together, and they are too. They're trying to find an identity out there offensively. They're still working, like you said, with the O-line, and I think they're getting more comfortable. Pete's really been always a running back, just using multiple running backs. But, when they come in here, they'll be ready.
Yeah, they've got the Carson kid, who was a seventh-round draft pick. He's been playing well for him. Thomas Rawls is working his way back in. They have Eddie Lacy, who was inactive last week, a healthy scratch, which means if he goes this week, he should be 100%, and he is a big back who is a load.
Another big back that we've, we faced that the last 2 weeks, so we're very familiar with it.
Let's get to the phones. We'll start in Bowling Green. I think this is a good sign because Walker called last week. Walker in Bowling Green, welcome to Titans Radio and the Mike Mularkey Show. Go right ahead.
Thanks, Mike. Last week we showed the NFL that we are the ground-and-pound offense with Derrick Henry having 92 rushing yards. Will he be the number one back going into this week against the Seahawks? And defensively, we have four forced fumbles in 2 weeks compared to four last season. What's changed defensively for you guys?
Interesting.
No, yeah, actually, that's good. You see that we're I mean, it's been a big emphasis this whole offseason. I mean, when they came back here in April, we've been talking about creating turnovers. I mean, I show them charts after charts of you know, winning percentages going dating back 20 years, and it's amazing how they keep up the same percentages each year. And so it's just been a big emphasis, and our guys are working at it a lot more in practice, and it's starting to come out in games, and the results are good for the Titans. And then we'll see how DeMarco is. He probably will be limited tomorrow. And, again, as far as a starter, we'll see who that is when we come Sunday.
You know, after Derrick Henry has his best performance, the 14 carries, 92 yards, and a touchdown at Jacksonville, you're going to get the questions all week about him.
Sure. Yeah, he did exactly what he was here for. He came in and really got when the offense got going, not just the backfield, because both backs, we had 50 yards of offense, rushing yards in the first half, and that was with both backs. And it wasn't really till the second half when we started to break the dam that, and again, Derek was the guy that was doing it because DeMarco was injured. Yeah, and I know I'm going to get the questions. We're very fortunate. We got two backs that can be very potent, and very, very lucky that we have them.
I thought when you put David Flewellen in at the end on his either first or second carry, I thought he'd broken it.
It was close. The line and the tight ends did a great job of creasing him right there. And he had a chance. I mean, they got him right there at the end. But, you know, you're talking about another guy. Got his opportunities, made big yards, and probably won't be the starter this week. But
you can count on it.
It was fun. It was fun to watch him get a chance to run the ball.
Absolutely. Malika in Nashville at 877-848-2671. Welcome to Titans Radio. You're on the air.
Yes. Hi, Coach. How are you, sir?
Hey, good, Malika. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, no problem. I'm a huge Titans fan. How are Corey Davis and Jonathan Cyprian doing? And I just wanted to say, wouldn't it be cool if DeMarco Murray and Derrick Henry could, like, split carries, like a little bit of DeMarco, a little bit of Derrick, when DeMarco comes back, and I'll hang up and listen. Go Titans. Thanks a lot.
Okay. Thanks for the call. Jonathan's probably, I can rule him out right now. We're still waiting on some results with Corey Davis. I'll know more tomorrow on him. And, again, just based on how we're going to and again, what we're doing today and tomorrow is putting a game plan together for the Seahawks, and we'll see how. Again, we got to see how the health of DeMarco is. Again, he's another one that give him another day tomorrow to see how he's doing before we start, you know, talking about how we're going to attack the opponent.
Malika, thanks so much for the call. More of your calls at 877-848-2671. Also, Twitter questions at Titans Radio. Here's one from Adam, Coach. Speaking of rookie receivers, will we see Taywan Taylor more involved in the offense from now on?
Yeah, we're trying to get him in there. You know, he got a number of opportunities with the injury to Corey last week. And, again, we have to see where Corey is this week. If he's unable to you know, play as many plays as he has been, then Taywan will get more of the reps, more as the inside slot receiver.
All right, here's one from Preston. I like this question. How important is the cadence this week? Speaking of the quarterbacks, I'm hoping that we can get some free plays off of Michael Bennett jumping off sides.
Oh, we're hoping that too. No, we, you know, yeah, cadence is important with us. I think Marcus is very good with our cadence. We have numerous cadences in our system. And, you know, we got to be smart too now. Russell Wilson's very good about getting opponents to jump offside. So this will be in a cadence battle to see who's going to be disciplined and sit in there.
How hard is it going to be for your defense to prepare for Russell Wilson due to the fact that you just don't see many athletes who have the complete game in terms of being able to move and to throw accurately from anywhere like this player does?
We're going to try to simulate it. It's going to be very difficult. Like you said, he's just unique how he makes plays all over the place. That's why they win, because they always have a chance with him. He's just very difficult to corral in the pocket. And as disciplined as we're going to be, and we're going to harp on that, he's going to get out. And we just got to, we got to do a good job of covering down the field and trying to, stay after him.
Can Matt Cassel play Russell Wilson in practice?
No, absolutely. No, he cannot. Maybe not even in his younger years could he. No, we have an idea of how we're going to do it. We just got done with a staff meeting about practice and how we're going to try to simulate some of the things Russell does.
That's one of the bigger challenges of your job and the staff's job that those of us on the outside may not think about all the time. Is how are we going to do this? How are we going to simulate to give as – because you can't give a total Russell Wilson look, but you want to give as much of one as you possibly can.
And we're going to. And it's all planned out, and we'll do that this entire week. And, it'll be as close as we can, but there's nothing like the real thing in a game. And our guys will know the importance of trying to keep him, within arm's reach, and really they're going to have to cover longer than they have.
One more call before we get a break at 877-848-2671. Cindy in Kentucky, we welcome you to the Mike Mularkey Show. You're on the air.
Hi.
Hey, Cindy.
I really don't have a question as much as I just wanted to tell you that we Hilltoppers love it when Taiwan gets to play, and he was a big playmaker for us here. And I think he'll give you all he's got, and we just love it. And you're making Titan fans all over Bowling Green playing
awesome.
Him more.
Well, thank you. Yeah, he's really a fun player to coach. I mean, I'm telling you, since the day he's gotten here, he's just fun to be around. He loves to be coached. He wants to do it the right way. And, he's fun to game plan and scheme with. There's no question about it, because he is an explosive player.
Taywan Taylor already with 3 catches for 56 yards, 2 rushes for 16 yards, and also a special teams tackle.
Yeah. I mean, he's a factor in our special teams as well. So he's done a lot. He's probably doing some more things than he's done in college. And we're going to continue to try to, hopefully grow his play time.
Cindy, thanks so much for calling from the Bowling Green area. We're glad to have Taywan Taylor here, too. We'd also be glad to have more of your calls at 877-848-2671. And your Twitter questions, fire them our way at Titans Radio. Glad to have you with us tonight on Titans Radio. The Mike Mularkey Show continuing from St. Thomas Sports Park. Phone calls at 877-848-2671. Twitter questions at Titans Radio. Let's go to the Tri-Cities. Michael is giving us a call from roughly 300 miles away. Michael, we're glad to have you with us on Titans Radio. Go right ahead for the coach.
Thank you for taking my call, Coach. Good win. Appreciate all your efforts Sunday and what you did for our team. I don't want to give Seattle too much information or too much of a heads up, so you don't have to disclose too much. But my question is given the type of quarterback Russell Wilson is, are we going to have a pretty much a designated spy for him on defense?
Well, I'm not going to give up too much information. No, that's a good question, Michael. We're going to have a very good plan. Coach LeBeau, he's always trying to think of the best way to defend these guys, and especially when they're as threatening as he is out of the pocket. So we'll have a good plan without showing our hand. Yeah, that's you'll see it up close and personal on Sunday when it comes to light.
I think the 3 o'clock start is going to be a great thing for Titans fans. We've already had calls from Kentucky and from Tri-Cities and all over the place. If you're trying to get here for the ball game, you got a chance to get here, be ready to go, see this thing against a great opponent. I think it's going to be an exciting day at Nissan Stadium.
Yeah, really. Again, like you said earlier, they haven't been here in, I don't know, when's the last
12
time?
12 years.
Yeah, 12 years. That's a tough place to play. That's one of the toughest places in the NFL because of the noise and the 12th man. And the we would like to kind of show them what we're all about here in Nashville with our fans.
All right, let's go to the loveliest village on the plains, Auburn, Alabama, and Chandler is the next caller. Hello, Chandler.
How are you doing tonight?
Doing good, Chandler. Thanks for the call.
Yeah, first time listener, really enjoying the show so far. But first three quarters of the season seemed to go by kind of slow on the offensive side, and then the second half of this last game, everything seemed to come together, except DeMarco Murray seems to be a little slow. Is that just the way he's running this year, or is the hamstring still bothering him, or he just still kind of trying to find his groove this year?
Well, I think we played a couple good defenses in the first two games. We got a couple more coming here. You know, it is a bit of a grind early. You're trying to find what's going to work, and you understand that going into the game. You have to be patient with especially the run game. You're looking to see, and we've, you know, obviously we figured it out in the second half when we started to hit them in some spots, and you know, like I said, I think the dam finally broke because of the way we were running the football and how physical we were.
It's tough in following the NFL as a fan sometimes, or even as a broadcaster, because at first half, it's like, man, we got to hit this rock how many times before it breaks? And when it got to be 9-3 and you didn't get the touchdown there, you're saying, oh, boy, you missed an opportunity. But your team just kept going, and then you get the defensive stop, and then you get the punt return, and then you get the pass completion to Walker, and the next play, it's Henry and the 17-yard touchdown, and all of a sudden, all the things you've been preaching to everybody all week long around here start to come true, but you've got to have a buy-in from the football team in order to do that, because that's hard.
It is.
Ended up being a 37-16 game, but it really wasn't for the longest time.
No, it wasn't. It could be easily frustrating to sit there, and again, with a score like that, and especially on the road. But you have to understand this team. They are resilient. We went in the locker room at halftime, and I can't tell you the energy that was coming from that team. And there was nothing but a good feel when we came out. Did I know we were going to score 31 points in the second half? No, but I know that we had a chance to win based on the way those guys came in and went out of that locker room for the second half.
Is it hard for you to believe that that's the first time in 26 years that this team has put up 30 or more points in a second half?
Yeah, I did not know that. Yeah, that's hard for me to believe. Hopefully we can break that record again at some point, but that's a credit to our guys that they did not, you know, let that frustration get to them.
Here's another pretty good stat. So far this year, your team, your defense, when the opponent has third and 10 or more, they are 0 for 6.
That's what it ought to be.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a hard 10 or more is hard to get, and we've actually been pretty good offensively getting it. But you're trying to get them into third and longs because of, first of all, the quarterback has to hold the ball longer to get the depth of his receivers, and now your pass rush can tee off more. So that's what it ought to be.
Walter in Hermitage, we're so glad you're with us tonight on Titans Radio. Welcome to the Mike Mularkey Show.
Yes, sir. Coach, I was wanting to know how you felt about the rookies that we have, Taywan Taylor, Corey Davis, and Adoree Jackson. How are you feeling about how their performance is so far?
Well, let's throw in a couple more. Jonnu Smith?
Yeah.
And Jayon Brown, guys that are definitely helping.
Yeah, I'm telling you, it's been really kind of fun to watch these guys grow the first couple weeks. They've done some really good things. I mean, the future is really good here if they continue to do well. They have a lot of work to do. I've said that, and, you know, I know what they need to do. The general public may not see it like I do, but you know, this is a good class. It's really a fun class. These guys love football, and they love coming to work, and I think they are enjoying the environment, and they fit exactly, you know, what John and I have been talking about. Team first, they're dependable, and they're tough, and that's the best thing about this group.
Let me throw out a couple other names. How about Curtis Riley?
Wow. You know, missed him the first game, came back in, made some plays. Obviously, the interception was big, but even special teams-wise, you know, he's a force in special teams.
It's taken him 3 years to get here.
Yeah, he's had some injuries, and, you know, I mean, some pretty significant injuries that he's had to work his way back from, and it's good to have him back.
And a guy like Denoris Searcy.
Yeah, consistency. You know, I always talk about that with players. You know, how do you get on the field with consistency? And, you know, when Cyprian went down, I went to Denoris, and I said, you know what's nice is there'll be no drop-off at all from this position, because I know you. I know how you prepare. I mean, he's if he's not the first, he's close. He's first or second in the building every day since I've been here. he prepares as well as anybody I've been around, and it shows up on Sundays.
Week one, 6 of your 7 inactives were healthy. This past week, 5 of your 7 inactives were healthy. And there are some players on that list who could be helping this football team right now, but you have to make choices. How do you keep those guys up?
I talked to each one of them. I've been one of those guys. I've been an inactive. So I know you work hard all week. You want to compete on Sundays. You want to put all that work into something on Sundays. And you just can't get down on yourself. It's part of the league, the rules, and somebody has to go down. And these guys know they're a play away from being up. They can be up all the way up until Saturday. So they've got to prepare each week like they're going to basically start the game. But I try to just let them know, look, there's nothing more I can do about it. It is what it is.
There are a couple guys on that list, too, that are going to have to help this football team at some point.
Absolutely. They all are. I mean, at some point, they all are. That's why the depth at each position that we have, we have some areas in some areas and need some more in others. But each one of those guys has an important role in this team. What they do during the week and in preparation and getting ready, and even for the look squad, given the Seattle Seahawks offense, those are so important to our team that so we can make Sundays a little easier than they are.
He's the head coach of the Tennessee Titans, Mike Mularkey. Your chance to ask your questions of him at 877-848-2671. 877-848-2671. Twitter questions at Titans Radio. One more segment with the coach as we continue on Titans Radio. Coach Dave McGinnis will join us in our final segment to talk about the Titans and Seattle and things around the NFL. But one more segment with the head coach to talk with you at 877-848-2671, 877-848-2671. Or you can tweet us a question, as has been done by Charles Coach, and you can tweet those questions at Titans Radio. Charles wants to know, I lost it there. Charles, you threw me off. There it is. Is there anybody who wants it? No, it's Chip. That's why I got it wrong. Is there anybody who wants an interception more than Kevin Byard? Do all these tip passes drive him crazy?
Nobody works harder than Kevin Byard to get an interception. He'll have some. I mean, I think when one comes, you'll see a drove of interceptions coming his way. He's been outstanding for us. I mean, I can't say enough about him. Another guy prepares like there's no tomorrow. So they're coming his way.
9 tackles in the first game. 9 tackles in the second game for Kevin
Byard. Great run support. I mean, he's a physical player. We get him down there in the box. He's a good tackler. And I'll say this, just give credit to our secondary. Probably one of the more impressive games I've seen, which was important with the run game of Jacksonville, that we had our run support like we did from our corners and our safeties in that game.
All right, this one's from Derek. Since Marcus loves to throw between the hashes and Jonnu Smith has proven his athleticism, will we see more 2 tight end sets with Jonnu and Delanie Walker?
Yeah, I mean, we have a pretty good package of those guys in the game. We always will. We'll always have 2, and we'll have a package with 3 tight ends just about every game. That's no secret. That's how we attack people. We use multiple personnel groupings. But the more and more he gets to play and gets some experience, the more play time he may see.
Does Dennis Kelly now think he's really a tight end?
he wishes.
He got a lot of snaps the other day.
Yeah, he did. And he's done well for us. He's our jumbo tight end. He has to report every time he goes in the game. And we use him in different roles. But he's done really well for us for the 2 years we've had him.
It's a pretty good sign. The more snaps that Dennis Kelly plays, generally the better the Tennessee Titans do.
Well, that means we're doing something right.
Right.
Running the football. Again, he's in on play action. He's in for a variety of reasons, but he's got an important role in this offense.
Here's another Twitter question. As the head coach, what matchup are you interested in seeing this Sunday?
Well, I think our secondary, being able to stay on coverage. There's going to be some plays that are going to be extended, and that's a lot harder to do than you think. It's important that we don't give up any big plays over our head when he's scrambling around, and he's going to do that. So I think it's going to be a big matchup for our secondary against their wideouts and the time it's going to take to keep them covered.
Titans experienced that 4 years ago in Seattle. Russell Wilson running around for his life, somehow finds Lynch out in the flat. He goes 61 yards to set up the game-winning score, and it was a play that the Titans had well defensed, and then suddenly they didn't.
Yeah, there's going to be some of those plays. We're going to be in the perfect position, as you would, and unless you have a quarterback that can get away from pressure. And we just, again, this will be just like talking about last week. We didn't want to get frustrated offensively. We have to have that same mindset when we go in this game defensively, that there's going to be some plays made by him. That's what he's made a living doing. But just keep everything in front and make them earn it.
As far as quarterbacks go, we've been talking about Russell Wilson. I want to ask you about Marcus Mariota. He got off to a bit of a slow start, but was certainly coming on as that game wound down and made big plays in the pass game in the second half. What happened to allow him or the overall pass game to look better as the game went along?
I think the run game helped, certainly helped slow the pass rush down. I thought our guys did a great job of you know, they had 10 sacks the week before of holding off a defensive line, but he had some really good time to find receivers. Our guys did a good job of getting a little more separation in the second half. Some of it, I think, we had the ball much more, and they were getting worn down on that side of the ball, and I think that had a little bit of a difference of it, of the passing game.
James in Franklin, we appreciate you joining us tonight on Titans Radio. Welcome to the Mike Mularkey Show.
Hey, Mike, how you guys doing tonight?
Great, James. Appreciate the phone call.
Absolutely. I just wanted to thank you for the win this weekend. I personally live, actually, in Jacksonville. My parents are in Franklin, so that's where I claim my hometown. But I live in Jacksonville right now, and I cannot tell you how good it feels to play the Mike Keith touchdown montage on my outside speakers all day long now, because that win was an absolute butt kicking, and I just appreciate that personally. And my question for you, Coach, is having coached a player like Julio Jones in the past, how does Corey Davis compare athletically and physically to him? Thank you, Coach, and tighten up. Thank you.
Thanks, James. Good question. Well, you know, there's some similarities. Big receiver, strong receiver. I've seen a catch or two on our practice fields, and actually the one against Oakland that reminded me a little bit of Julio's ability. But, you know, Julio's got a few years on him, and Corey's got to he's got to get some more experience. But there's some similarities to him, especially the size and the catch radius.
Another Twitter question asking about Walker and Matthews being go-to receivers. So how do you figure your role or how you're going to use Eric Decker?
Well, excuse me, he plays multiple positions for us. And, again, with Corey's injury, he'll probably, again, be out there starting at X for us this week. He knows he can play slot. Again, based on who we have personnel-wise, he'll be in the game in multiple situations. But, you know, that's one thing that's nice about him. He can play so many positions for us.
You wanted more from Decker in this game this past week. You got more from Decker. He had a couple of big catches right in a row that helped you early on. Obviously made an excellent play on the onside kick as well, and seems to be sort of finding his role. Is it just a matter that he's getting healthier and getting to practice all the time now?
Oh, I think that has a lot to do with it. His practice reps are really important, and he loves to practice, and I think that's what's going to help him build more of a that relationship with Marcus. So I think the more he practices, the better.
And he had some matchups, had some advantages, and he was able to take advantage.
He did.
Of those.
The big third down, the first third. excuse me. The first third down was big on his part. That play, and obviously recovering the onside kick was important to end that game.
I don't know it seemed like, and you can answer this, it was almost as if he sensed that scoring wouldn't have been the best option right there.
Oh, I think he wanted to score.
Okay, okay. So I missed that one. All right.
I think once he figured out he was surrounded, then he was smart. We possessed the ball. We wanted the ball. We had the ball, and he went down, and I thought that was a smart play by a smart player.
That is about as good an overall special teams game as the Titans have had in a long, long time, between kicks and punt coverage and you know, coverage overall, recovering the onside kick, taking care of the field goals, the punt returned by Adoree Jackson, I mean, right. And limiting penalties.
Right. We still had one, which was disappointing because we had a pretty good lead at that time, not necessary to hold anybody. But for the most part, yeah, you're right. It was one of our better games in a long time, and we need to continue that.
We're talking with Mike Mularkey on Titans Radio, 877-848-2671, 877-848-2671. Time for a couple more questions. You can also tweet us a question at Titans Radio. We'd love to hear from you tonight as we get ready to take on the Seattle Seahawks at Nissan Stadium. Talked earlier in the program about Seattle and their defense and some of those names, Cam Chancellor, Richard Sherman, Bennett, K.J. Wright, and to add Sheldon Richardson.
Yeah.
What a nice pickup that was for their defensive line.
Yeah, playing really well as well. You're talking about some big-name players that play big time. And, again, that experience together is a strength. You know, that's a very big strength that they've played together for as long as they have.
What's the normal strength overall of a Pete Carroll team?
Pretty disciplined, don't make a lot of mistakes. I think they're well coached. The coaching staff's been together now, since 2010 for the most part. Schemes haven't changed. They believe in them, and they got the players to play them.
First 2 weeks of the league season in the books now, anything surprise you to this point that has gone on in the first 2 weeks?
Around the league or just
– Around the league.
No, not really. I think you said it earlier. Some teams are still trying to find their way a little bit. You see some teams that people are down on, and they come back, and they're not going to be so bad after all. And it's still early. It's really still early in the season. I think I'm, in regards to us, I'm pleased where we're at right now with our mentality. Our guys are coming to work every day, trying to get better and better, and understand we got a pretty tough start here of a schedule. We got to just keep our nose to the grindstone and keep working.
From a coach's standpoint, whose background is in offense, any theory as to why touchdowns have been so hard to come by the first 2 weeks?
I can say this: defenses. I know the ones we're facing are pretty stingy when it comes to it. And again, the old mantra that offenses are always behind defenses when the season starts. That may be a little bit true there, just getting more comfortable with personnel and systems. Much easier to do defensively than it is offensively.
When you talked to this football team after the game and you talked about looking forward, one of the things that you made clear to them is you didn't even have the 24-hour rule or the 48-hour rule. You said, we're turning the page right now. I guess I'm kind of wondering why important to turn the page even faster than NFL teams normally ask their players to do after a win or a loss.
Well, that's probably one of the best things I think I've done, in the last year in these two games was, win or lose Monday. When players leave, Tuesdays are their normal day off. They don't come back until Wednesday morning when you typically get introduced to the next opponent. So you either have a really bad taste or really good taste, and it's all you're thinking about. And either or, we want to get on to the next opponent and get their mind set on who we're playing, do a personnel review on who the opponent is and really their schemes. And it's really brief. But when they walk out of the building here on Mondays, they're already ready for the next game. At least mentally, they've got a head start, and I think that's important. That we just move on because the next one is the most important game.
This ball club's a little older than the one you took over here nearly 2 years ago. Is that a big reason you feel like you can do that with some confidence?
I think that's true. Our guys know that. I think they understand that's how we operate here. I think it's been an advantage for us by doing it. Our Wednesdays are not so much, you know, almost like brand new day. It's they've already kind of got a taste of what we're getting prepared to do, especially when we walk out on the practice field.
Today is the players' day off, but miraculously, they all seem to end up here.
I don't know the numbers, but we usually have, you know, in the 40s, low 50s of players come in on their day off. Pretty remarkable.
Yeah, that's not normal, is it?
No, that's not normal. That's the makeup of our locker room, and a lot of them are in to get a workout. They're actually in here to get some treatment or sit in the hot. You know, they're trying to take care of their bodies. They know how long of a season it is, and I just like how smart they're being, knowing that got to get ready for this next one.
I want to ask you about one more player because as I was studying the game notes, I was struck by Wesley Woodyard's line. 10 tackles the first week against Oakland. 15 tackles this past week in the win at Jacksonville. Seems like he's playing his best football in his 30s.
He's really playing well. He's just around the ball. I mean, he's such a smart player. Again, another guy that prepares unbelievably. And the really nice thing is we've got some young players behind him that hopefully they're watching how he does things and seeing the success he's still having at his age.
And he doesn't have to play every snap anymore, which would seem to help.
No, he doesn't. And he's been a captain every year he's been in the league. So 10 years he's been voted a captain. He's our special teams captain. He sits in every special teams meeting, even though he's not on some of the special teams, he's in there. And he starts on our punt team. He has a huge role on our team I'm thankful we have him.
Well, we're looking forward to the game on Sunday. Going to be a lot of fun to see you take on the Seattle Seahawks. Coach, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks, Mike. Should be a great game. Hopefully get a ton of fans out there to make it tough on them.
Absolutely. Full house at Nissan Stadium on Sunday. Dave McGinnis is next on Titans Radio. The Mike Mularkey Show continues with Titans Radio's own coach, Dave McGinnis, joining me. You have heard Coach Mularkey talk about the Jacksonville win and say this ball club is moving on. Let's not quite move on because I want your take after you've had 48 hours to review this thing. What impressed you the most about the Titans' win in Jacksonville?
Well, Mike, first of all, you know you and I don't need 48 hours. We're lucky enough we get to see this in person. And it was a tremendous physical beatdown. And to me, I mean, after 32 years in the league, I'm an old school ball coach. I love the physical part of that. And as you and I talked about, you know, at the end of the game on the air, I was so impressed with the Titans, with our offensive line, the way they performed and the way they stepped up and stood up. Because 10 sacks, I don't care what you're doing, 10 sacks is hard to get against an NFL team on air. And they shut that down. They took it as a personal challenge. And then just the physical nature of the Titans in that ball game. That was hot down there. That was hot, hot. They were playing a hot team because they were the talk of the league after what they had done to Houston. To me, it was a perfect example of a football team trusting the message that their head coach and their assistant coaches were bringing to them. They took that message to the locker room. And then, you know what? And it was a grind. That first half was a grind. But what you look for is perseverance in this league. There's nothing easy. I was so impressed with everything that they did as far as just being able to persevere and then come out on top like that I loved it.
Believing in the plan, staying with the plan, executing the plan, and it took them 2.5 quarters before it all sort of came together. But it says a lot about where this coaching staff is in terms of communication with their locker room.
Well, I mean, there's no doubt. I mean, again, as I say, it shows you how firm the belief is. And this team, you know, and I grew up in Texas, and you know, around a lot of sale barns. And if you got a good horse, they say that you know a horse has bottom to it. Well, this football team's got bottom to it because they can stick their cleats in the ground and go. And to me, that impressed me more than anything else because, as I say, after being in this league for 32 years, coaching, knowing how important it is to come back from a disappointment and then build everything back up and then to see it come to fruition, you know, winning in this league, Mike, is not everything. It's just oxygen. That's all it is.
It truly is the only thing.
It's the only thing.
Yeah. A lot of 1-1 teams around this league. The majority of the league is 1-1 at this point. And it just goes to show how balanced it is, how tough this year is going to be. On the top end, any of those 2-0 teams really grab you so far?
Well, to me, 2-0 is too early. 2-0 is too early, you know, because what you look at, I mean, Atlanta's got a good football team. I mean, you can see what they do, but again, 2-0 is too early. This is a grind. That's why I love the fact that this is such an experienced coaching staff here. I loved it when Mike Mularkey says, we already passed it. We're done with it. You and I were on that airplane coming back. There wasn't like, you know, everything. I mean, it was a workmanlike. They're very proud. There's nothing like the feeling inside that you get as a coach, as a player, as a fan, when your team wins. But you've got to understand you've got a game to win next week, and you don't only have a game to win, you've got a game to prepare for, and that's huge.
And one of the challenges of preparing for this game is the Titans don't know Seattle except by reputation.
Well, they know Seattle this. This is going to be the same defense, you know, that they faced last week, because it's from exactly the same family. Now, I'm very familiar with Seattle, having played them 10 times in the last 5 years in the NFC West. And we, as the Rams, had a lot of success against this team, but you have to know how to play them. And then it's going to be, it's an all-day affair when you play them, because they've got some people that can make it very, very challenging to prepare for and then to play.
All right, let's pick Dave McGinnis's brain. First of all, for the Titans offense going against the Seattle defense, where do you start?
Know where Cam Chancellor is, number one. You've got to know where he is, because this dude is their Swiss Army knife. They put him anywhere and everywhere, and he's a presence when he's dropping down as a robber in the middle. He's a presence when he's down in the run front. He's a presence when he's in the deep zone. He's a presence in the short zone. This dude is a presence, and you have to know where he is. Everybody else, you kind of know where they're going to line up. This is the dude that they play with, and they move him around. So you've got to know where he is, and you've got to be able to recognize what's going on there. I thought they made a great pickup with Sheldon Richardson. This dude is a real football player, and he's going to that culture up there. This defense is predicated on making you become impatient with it, because they're not real complicated. They might bring four off the weak side, four off the strong side every now and then, but most of the time they're going to be a four-man front somehow. They're going to play some sort of zone every now and then. They'll man those corners up. But to me, this defense basically is old school. They say, here's what we're doing. Here it is. Come get some.
And they don't make a lot of mistakes.
No, and they've run the same defense there for Pete Carroll's whole tenure. I mean, I've coached on staffs with coaches that have come from there, and when you pick their brains and start looking at it and getting ready, and you say, well, is that what they do? That's what they do, Mac? But they believe, not think, they believe they're going to do it better than you can come at it.
They beat you with their talent.
They beat you with their talent, and they also beat you. They're very sound in what they do. That comes from stability and being able to have the same all those years.
You guys, when you were with the Rams, shut down Russell Wilson's offense pretty consistently. You gave them a huge hassle. How did you do it, and what do the Titans have to do?
Well, first of all, we really had good defensive personnel. I mean, we had some real players. And plus, it was a division game. And before we had gotten to the Rams, I mean, you know, Seattle had owned them. And we brought, you know, a system in there and a belief in there that they could play with them. And, you know, we beat them four out of the last six times that we've played them. And so the thing that you got to know about Russell Wilson is this. Every time they snap the ball to Russell Wilson, you have to defend two plays. You have to defend the play that's called, and then you have to defend the play that he's going to create, because he is the best improv player there is in this league right now. He's dangerous running to his right and throwing. He's dangerous to his left. His escapability is amazing. He's got a shortstop's arm, and the fact that he can make a fast, quick throw from any launch pad. And the dude's got some magic to him, and they believe in him also doing this. And so he's never out of it. They know him well enough now that they temper the thing to him. But you've got to be able to understand that just because when the play starts, Russell Wilson, the play is not over until the whistle blows twice.
Russell Wilson is not the tallest guy in the world. Is there any way you can take advantage of that?
Well, you got to keep him in the cylinder. I mean, we always worked on keeping him in the cylinder, making him at least throw from the well, you know, what we call the well. Now, when you do that, then you've got to be disciplined in your rush. Now, that doesn't mean that you can't go after him, because you can. You can come after him, and again, like I said, Dick LeBeau's the last person that needs any advice from me. All I know is he's looked at it and seen you can come after him, you can do things, but his escapability, and plus, you know, the quarterbacks that just escape to run really don't bother you as a defensive coach or a player, because you know what's going to happen. When he escapes, the whole playbook is still wide open to him. So your secondary has to plaster. They got to hold on. I mean, as I said, wait till the whistle blows twice before you think the play's over when he's got it.
Coach Dave McGinnis, you've been around this Titans team for 6 weeks. You've seen him play 4 preseason games, 2 regular season games. Where can the Titans potentially, with what you know about Tennessee, give Seattle trouble offensively and defensively on Sunday?
Well, I mean, the first thing, and we preach this, you know, Tennessee's a physical football team. Seattle prides himself on being a physical football team. So you've got to be able to exert your will, but you have to have the patience. You know, being a physical football team in this league, you know, you need patience to be a physical football team, because it's not, you know, it's a physical football team is not a big chunk team. A physical football team is a team that does it down in, down out, down in, down out. But that you take the kind of game the Tennessee Titans play, you know, it's like I was talking with Russ Grimm about on the tarmac there when we were loading the plane back up. This kind of game plan that they had against Jacksonville, that can travel anywhere in any weather at any time, and it always has in the league. That's first of all. And they got a physical mindset. They've got a very veteran coaching staff. And this football team believes in what they're doing. And to me, a confident football team like that, but that is truly physical. You know, Mike, it's just like you and I growing up. You know, there were some dudes that talk tough. You knew they weren't tough. A tough dude doesn't say a whole lot. Tough dude just is a tough dude. This is a tough football team that doesn't talk a whole lot, and I love it.
Coach Mack, thanks for joining us. Titans and Seattle coming up this Sunday. That's going to wrap up this edition of the Mike Mularkey Show. Our producer is Brandon Hagany. Our traffic director, Anna Jones. Director of Sales, Hunter Rice. Operations manager, Charlie Cook. The general manager is Allison Warren. And the executive producer of Titans Radio is Rhett Bryan. For Coach Mike Mularkey and Coach Dave McGinnis, Mike Keith reminds you that Sunday we are on the air at a different time. Titans Countdown comes your way at 2 Central, 3 Eastern. We'll kick it off at 3:05 Central Time from Nissan Stadium. Until then, have a great night, everybody.
The Mike Mularkey Show, presented by Farm Bureau Health Plans. For great health care coverage, get the home field advantage with Farm Bureau Health Plans. They've got you covered. Get the info you need for this week's game at TitansRadio.com. This is Titans Radio.